Now we're reading from Revelation chapter 5 and commencing at the opening verse. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having each one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, for ever and ever." The four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Amen. And the Lord will bless to us this portion of his holy and infallible word. Now shall we join together in prayer, please? And as we seek the Lord this evening, will you join personally with us in prayer? "Lord, speak to me." I trust we have gathered not out of coldness and formality and hypocrisy this evening. We join together to worship the Lord and to hear his voice. Will you sincerely pray that prayer, "Lord, speak to me"? And it's a prayer that God will answer. My dear friend, in answering it and in speaking to you, that in turn demands a reply from you. And whatsoever he saith unto you this evening, will you do it? Rise up and follow the Lord. If you're not saved, embrace Christ this evening. If you are saved and the Lord speaks to you, dear saint of God, follow him all the way. In this book we read that they follow the Lamb whithersoever he leadeth. Our Father, we thank thee for thy presence. We bless thee for the privilege of worshipping thee. Thou hast not left us, Lord, in nature's darkness, but thou hast sent thy Son. Thou hast given to us thy word. Thou hast given to us the privilege of entering into this house this evening to sing together and to listen together, even to the ministry of thy Spirit through the word. Lord, speak to the preacher. We would not ask of thee merely to speak to those who would sit in the pew. O God, speak first of all to my heart, and that then in speaking to the preacher, grant, Lord, that we might speak in the power of God even to those who would listen to our words and to thy word this evening. Let us know the spiritual status of everyone in this gathering. We pray, Lord, that those who are thine might be drawn closer to thee in love, in wonder, and in praise. Those who are out of Christ might find themselves being drawn with the cords of everlasting kindness, even into fellowship and unto salvation this evening, to walk with God. We therefore give thee thanks for what thou hast done, for what thou shalt yet do in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is the most wonderful book that hath ever been penned. In this book you will find poetry that is most sublime. In this book you will find history. In this book you will find romance. In this book you will find adventure. No matter what you have as a particular bias or taste in literature, you can come to this book and you will find it here. But my friend, if you just come to the Bible looking for history, looking for romance, looking for poetry, yes, you'll not be disappointed, but if that is all you see in the Bible, then you are not coming with a true heart nor a proper understanding to this book. For this book is the Word of God, and its primary function is to reveal Jesus Christ, and through revealing Jesus Christ to point men to the God of heaven. This book primarily is all about our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself said to the Pharisees of his day that if they had believed Moses, they would have believed him, for Moses wrote of me. Again, he came to his disciples following his resurrection, and he breathed upon them, and he opened their understanding that they might see all things in the Scriptures concerning himself, the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. You go to every book in the Bible, and there you will find Jesus Christ in one form or another. In the Scriptures there are many wonderful names and titles given to God's eternal Son. For example, if we were to take the book of the prophet Isaiah, we immediately would think perhaps of chapter 9 and verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In that verse there are wonderful names given to the Savior. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful study sometime in your devotional reading. As you go through the Scriptures, underline every name, every title, which is revealing in some facet or other the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. My favorite title, and perhaps the favorite of many here this evening, is that upon which I want to dwell for a few moments as our service would proceed. The Lamb of God. In particular, we're going to look at God's Lamb as he is revealed to us in the book of the Revelation. But it is a picture that we are given of Christ right throughout the Scriptures. For example, I may say that in the book of Genesis, we have the Lamb prophesied. Don't you remember the story of Abraham? How he was commanded to take Isaac, his only son, whom he loved, lead him away to Mount Moriah, and there to offer him as a sacrifice to God. And Abraham, we are told, rose up early in the morning. He took all that was necessary for the sacrifice, and away they went, and after 3 days' journey they came to the place. And the altar is constructed, and the wood is laid upon the altar. And Isaac turns and says to his father, "Where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "God shall provide himself a lamb." Yes, that was fulfilled immediately. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." And I'm convinced that there on that mountain, Abraham was looking forward by faith. And the words which he spoke, "God shall provide himself a lamb," were prophetic words. The lamb prophesied in Genesis. Of course, right throughout the Scriptures, we find various prophecies concerning God's Lamb, notably in Isaiah chapter 53. You come on through the law of Moses and you will discover the Lamb typified many times in many different parts of the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Notably again, perhaps in the Passover, when the people of God were being brought out of Egypt, they were to take the Lamb. And they were to shed the blood of that lamb, and they were to sprinkle it upon the doorpost and upon the lintel of the house. A lamb for a house. In the book of Exodus, you will read of a lamb, you will read of the lamb, and you will read of your lamb. I wonder, my friend, in what relationship tonight does the Lamb of God stand to you? You can look at Calvary, and you can see him. Yes, he is the Lamb of God. Perhaps you only see him as a lamb. Ah, but for some, thank God, in this meeting tonight, he is personally our lamb, our sacrifice, the lamb typified. I come into the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, and I see the Baptist as he's by Jordan, and on this occasion he lifts up his hand and he points to a figure drawing near, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And there you have not only the lamb prophesied and the lamb typified, but John He identifies the Lamb. The Lamb of God identified. Thank God He was born among men, lived among men, lived for men, was identified as God's spotless Lamb, the one of whom Abraham spoke, the one that Moses typified in the Passover, identified by John. But we come to the end of the Gospels, and we see the Lamb crucified. They took Him with cruel, rough hands. They led Him outside the city wall and nailed Him to the tree. There in the darkness, there in the agony of Calvary, they crucified God's Lamb. But that's not the end of the story. For 3 days after He rose triumphantly from the grave, and 40 days following that, He ascended up on high, and John of old on Patmos is now given a vision of the Lamb, and thank God it's the Lamb not crucified, but it's the Lamb glorified. And it's that picture, my friend, tonight that we're going to look at in the book of the Revelation, the glorified Lamb of God. John has many names and titles for the Savior. You turn to chapter 1 of this book of the Revelation, you'll discover many, many wonderful names of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll just take time to notice a few of them in passing this evening. In verse 5 of chapter 1, look, besides being called Jesus and Christ, He is the faithful witness. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's the Prince of the kings of the earth. Come on down the chapter, verse 7, He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning, He's the ending. He's the Lord, He's the one which is, He's the one which was, He's the one which is to come, the Almighty. Many, many wonderful names of the Savior. Come through the next two chapters, you'll discover our Lord Jesus Christ is the Amen. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the Son of God, He's the Son of Man. He is He that is true, He that is holy. He is the Root of David. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Bright and Morning Star. Many are the names of the Savior. Crown Him with many crowns. But that hymn says, the Lamb upon the throne. And the name which John takes particularly to describe our Lord Jesus Christ is the name of the Lamb. You read through the book of the Revelation, you'll discover no less than 27 times in this book, Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lamb in glory. Glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land, said Rutherford. But that dear saint of God says the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's Lamb. My friend, that's what we're looking at this evening. God's eternal Lamb, our sacrifice. The first reference that we have to the Lamb of God in Revelation is here in chapter 5, which we read together. Indeed, there are many, many references to Him in this chapter. But the first vision that John has of Christ as the Lamb in heaven is of a Lamb as it had been slain. The wounded Lamb of God. John sees the throne of glory. And as he looks at the God of everlasting glory, he sees in his hand that book written within and on the backside and sealed with 7 seals. No man on earth, no man in heaven, no man under the earth is able to open that book, neither even to look thereon. And he weeps. I wonder how much do we weep, my friend, because of the failures of man? Man is impotent. Man is a puny creature. And yet man today would glorify and deify himself and would dethrone the God of glory. He that sitteth in the heavens, I tell you, shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. John is brought to weeping because of the impotence of man. But one of the elders stills him and says, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes. My friend, that's the first picture that you and I must gaze at this evening of God's eternal Lamb. Because when Abraham said, God shall provide himself a lamb, he was thinking of sacrifice, wasn't he? And when Moses took the Passover lamb and shed the blood and sprinkled it, he was thinking of sacrifice. And when John pointed to Christ and said, behold the lamb, and identified the lamb, he was thinking of that event that would take place but 3 years hence, when they would take Christ and crucify him to the tree. And are glorified. Ah, but those wounds are yet visible above in beauty, glorified. My name from the palms of his hands, eternity shall not erase. Imprinted there they remain in marks of indelible grace. There will be no sickness for you or I who are privileged to be in heaven. No more tears, no more sorrow. No more heartache, no more grief, no more sorrowing or death, no sickness, but in his hands is the print of the nails. In his feet are the marks of the cruelty of man. In his side is the mark of that cruel spear which pierced and penetrated the wall of the heart, that forth with there flowed the blood and the water, which are the double cleansing power over man's pollution and sin stain. He's the wounded lamb, wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions. Now I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me. You know, there are those today and they tell us that Jesus Christ came to live for men, to show us how we might live in order to get to heaven. My friend, that's the lie of the pit. Jesus Christ was born to die. That's why he came. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. My friend, it's peace through the death of the cross. It's cleansing through the blood of the cross. It's salvation through the Lamb of God. Or there's no salvation at all. Oh, wash me. Oh, Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, oh, make me clean. My friend, tell me, have you ever looked at the Lamb of God? That's why we put that hymn before the sermon this evening. O Lamb of God, I come, because thy blood was shed for me, because thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come, I come. We look heavenward tonight, and we see a lamb as it had been slain, the wounded lamb. Thank God the wounding of the lamb is sufficient for everyone in this gathering this evening. For listen to what it says. They all came, and they say that thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. North and the south, the east and the west, the black and the white, the Jew and the Gentile, the Protestant, the Roman Catholic, the Buddhist, the Hindu, all may come to the wounded lamb. I thirst, thou wounded Lamb of God. My friend, is there that hunger within you tonight? Dear saint of God, there ought to be continually that thirst. There ought to be continually that hunger. Every time the name of Jesus is mentioned, it should be to you the sweetest name on earth. Dear unsaved person this evening, thank God you can come. Come to the Lamb of God, the wounded Lamb. But then there's something else I discover here in this fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation. He's not only the wounded lamb, but he's the worshipped lamb. I haven't time to go right down this chapter, but you'll discover that every creature worships him. Every creature. There are those today, my dear friend, listen, and they would usurp the worship of Christ. And there are others in their pride rebellion, they would refuse to worship him. But I want to say there's a day coming when every man and every woman and every boy and every girl in this congregation this evening will fall down before Christ and worship him. For so is the will of God. I read there in the book of Philippians that God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, listen, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess of things in heaven and things on earth, and things under the earth. I want to tell you every devil in hell will bow before the name of Christ. I want to tell you that every soul that shall be forever lost will bow before the name of Christ. Not one devil, my friend, shall rob God of his eternal glory. Not one imp or brat of hell shall steal one iota of the jealous God of glory's praise and honor. But oh, what it will be to worship him and then to be banished from his presence forevermore. To rise on the resurrection morn and to be summoned into his presence, to stand before the throne of the Lamb and to bow before him and to acknowledge him as the Lamb of God and as the God of glory. And then to be taken because your name is not in the eternal book of life of the Lamb, and to be cast into outer darkness, into that bottomless pit, into that lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. My friend, listen, the worship of the Lamb is a worthy worship. He alone can do what no man can do. It wasn't an angel, an archangel, a cherubim or seraphim that died on the cross. Nay, there's no salvation for angels that sinned. There's salvation for men because God sent his Lamb in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. He died for men. And he prevailed over hell. And he rose again. And they say, worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb. The elders, the beasts, and every creature, they brought their vials, they brought their odors, they brought their crowns, and they fell down. And they worshipped him. Tell me, my friend, have you worshipped him today? Dear believer, have you worshipped him in spirit and in truth today? Dear unsaved person in this gathering tonight, have you ever worshipped the Lamb? There's a day coming when you shall. There's a day coming when you'll bow before him. But I trust that worship will be the glad worship of a redeemed heart and not the worship of a damned and eternally lost soul. I go a little farther. In this study this evening, I would ask you to turn over with me, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. Not only is our Lord Jesus Christ the wounded Lamb and the worshipped Lamb, but oh, what a beautiful picture we have here for the Church of Christ this evening. Revelation chapter 19, we'll read verse 6 and then a few verses following. In this chapter, you'll read the word Hallelujah for the first time in the New Testament. And that's when God would judge that great whore, Babylon the Great, which would fall. Hallelujah, they say. And then we read in verse 6, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God, the wounded Lamb. He's the worshipped Lamb, but oh, thank God, he's now the wedded Lamb. Have you got an invite to the marriage supper of the Lamb, dear friend? Have you got an invite to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Are you here in this number who are called, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb? What a joyous privilege it is. I don't know much about weddings here in America, but I know back home to sit down at the banquet, to sit down at the reception, there's always a joyous occasion when we join in the happiness and in fellowship with the bridal party and with those who are invited to the banquet table. Tell me, have you that joyful expectation concerning glory? When the Lord shall judge his enemies, when Babylon shall fall, and when the Lord God omnipotent shall reign, and the summons goes out, come, for all things are now ready. Tell me, my friend, have you the wedding garment? In the Gospels is a parable of the marriage supper. And all the guests are there arrayed, and in the eastern country they all were given a garment to put on at the marriage feast. But there was one man without a wedding garment. And then the Lord of the feast came in and he saw that one man. And he said, Friend, how camest thou hither, not having a wedding garment? And we read he was speechless, struck dumb. Tell me, my dear friend, have you got the wedding garment? What is it? Their garment was a fine linen white, a robe of righteousness. How do you get that robe? Turn to Revelation 7:14. You'll find there that they came out of great tribulation and they washed their robes and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Tell me, friend, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We have a notable old apostate rascal back home, or at least we had. He's now dead. Just a couple of weeks ago, Professor William Barclay of Glasgow University, he lectures to the ministers or ministerial students of the Church of Scotland. He loved to despise and to denigrate that expression so beloved by evangelicals of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. He said it was repugnant. Oh, my friend, I'm glad it's a biblical expression. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Tell me, have you got the wedding garment? When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart. Not till then, Lord, shall I know, not till then, how much I owe. That beauty, that garment, Jesus, thy blood, thy righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds, with these arrayed with joy. Shall I lift up my head? Tell me, friend, have you got the wedding garment? Will you sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob? Will you sit down with the saints of God from all ages? Will you sit down with the martyr whom says Christ is all? Will you sit down with the little widow who can find Jesus as all and all? Tell me, have you got the wedding garment tonight? Are you white through the blood of the Lamb? He's the wedded Lamb. But I can't stop there. Would to God that I could, but I can't. Because you come on down Revelation chapter 19 and you have another picture of Jesus. Verse 11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That one is the Lamb, my friend. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a new name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus. Verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Once he did that for us sinners. Once he did that to atone, who is he that cometh for meet him? With dyed garments of Bozrah, trod the winepress of God's wrath alone and died. But now, friend, he comes to judge. Listen, his name is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's another supper here. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that he may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and them that sit in them. Will you turn back to Revelation chapter 14, please? Here is one of the most solemn, sad verses in God's Word. Just verse 10 for the sake of time, for time is almost gone from us. The same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God. And these who are described are they who would worship the beast and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. But it embraces all who shall be eternally lost. The same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. It is quite biblical to speak of God's hell. And though, my friend, it's a place of darkness and a place of everlasting darkness, yet in one particular sense in hell there will be a consciousness of the presence of Christ. But what a presence it will be. What an awesome presence it will be. I tell you, I don't like to talk about it this evening. It's so unspeakably solemn. Far better to talk about a marriage supper than to talk about a feast of vengeance. The Lamb. Oh, if it said that they would be tormented in the presence of the Lion, we could understand it, for He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But a lamb, a tender little thing that runs and plays in the fields at spring. Nothing more precious, nothing more sweet, nothing more friendly and lovable, but to be tormented in the presence of the Lamb. Turn back to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, the closing verses of the chapter, verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, my dear friend, what it is tonight to look at the wounded Lamb, bleeding, dying, bearing shame and scoffing, rude in my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon. Praise his name with his blood. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior. He's the Lamb crucified. But he's the Lamb glorified. Oh, what it is to worship him this evening. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou that every knee to thee should bow. Thank God for the privilege of worshiping him. You know, the God of heaven would have been just and holy, righteous altogether, had he left this world to go on in its sin without intervening at all. But he hath sent his Son to be a spotless Lamb to bear away sin. What a privilege to know him, dear believer. What a privilege to worship him. What a privilege to serve him. What a privilege to work for him. What a joy to sit down at the marriage table and be part of his bride. To sit down, blessed are they, happy are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a fearful thing. What a terrible thing. To hear every group of men under heaven who have rejected him, the great, the rich, the chief, the mighty, the bond, the free, crying out, hide us, hide us, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. My friend, he's the warring, wrathful Lamb of God. You stand tonight, every one of us, in some relationship or other to God's Lamb. Either he's ours, we've come to him, his blood has made us clean, or else we've despised him, we've turned away from him and rejected him. Ah, my friend, one day you'll bow before him, but then it might be too late. Tonight, if you're not saved, tonight, if there's a backslider in this house, dear sinner, dear backslider, come back to the Lord. Dear believer in this house this evening, give your all to the Lamb. Go and tell others about him. Live for him who died for thee. Shall we bow in prayer? In a moment or two, our service will be over. And I feel this evening it would be wrong of me to stand back for the closing hymn without saying a word to each one bowed now in the Lord's presence. As I look upon you, my dear friend, I only know a few by name. Others, perhaps, we would recognize by face. But unless I have heard personal testimony, I don't know how it stands with your soul and your God, but you know, and God knows. Right now, just take time. Did you pray, God, speak to me? That prayer has been answered. The Lord has spoken to my heart, and I believe He has spoken to you. Now, what answer are you giving to Him tonight? As you gaze upon the Lamb, glorified in heaven, what relationship is there between your soul and Him? Are you saved, washed in His blood, knowing that your garments are white, that you'll sit down at the marriage feast? Or are you unsaved, out of Christ? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're in prayer before God's throne, if there's one in this meeting right now and you're not saved, you're unconverted, you're out of Christ and without a Saviour, but God has smitten you through and through tonight with the arrow of conviction, and you would say to the preacher, you'd say to the God of heaven, Lamb of God, I come. I wonder, would you signify that publicly by raising your hand above your head and keeping it there until I acknowledge it and then slipping it down again? Or if there's a backslider and you've wandered far from God and you'd say, Lord, I'm coming home again, would you likewise indicate that by raising your hand and just holding it there until I see it and then slipping it down again? As we're in prayer, is there one anywhere? Man or woman, young person, boy or girl tonight? You say, yes, preacher, I'm coming to Christ. I'm coming to the Lamb of God. And would you indicate that right now, friend? We're not going to prolong this invitation, but we want to give you the opportunity of getting right with God. Is there one? Don't be ashamed or afraid, friend. He wasn't ashamed to die for you. Don't you be ashamed right now to decide for Him. On this final invitation, is there one? We're not going to ask you to raise your hand anymore, but if God has spoken to you, within your heart there's a spiritual need, spiritual problem. I'm here as God's servant for your soul's sake. Don't go away. I'll be at the door as folk are leaving. Speak to me. Speak to any of the elders of the church. If you've got a spiritual problem, I'd love to meet with you around the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence, for Thy help. We pray Thou wilt write Thy Word indelibly upon the fleshy table of the heart. Lord, we worship Thee. We're glad to hear the story of the Lamb. We pray that everyone in this gathering this evening might be drawn after Jesus, that we might eternally follow Him. Lord, continue now to bless us in Thy presence, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.